Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So back to Washington for a moment, and let's recall a moment nearly a year ago when a senior official in the U.S. intelligence establishment was imagining a moment that perhaps hasn't arrived yet.
There will come a tipping point at which so many of the leaders and operatives of Al-Qaeda and its affiliates have been killed or captured, and the group is no longer able to attempt or launch a strategic attack against the United States.
That's Jed Johnson speaking as the Department of Defense's senior lawyer in a speech at the Oxford Union in London last year. In an interview last year with the BBC, Johnson showed himself to be something of a counterterrorism hawk.
As far as the U.S. military goes, and I think I can speak for the entire U.S. government on this, given the nature of the technology of the assets we have, which can identify particular intended individuals and identify where they are, and aim our weapons, I think we do a pretty good job.
This aggressive advocate of secrecy, technology, drone warfare, and counterterrorism, and did I mention he's also a lawyer, Jay Johnson is President Obama's pick to be head of the Department of Homeland Security, replacing Janet Napolitano, who came from state politics in Arizona as governor. Michael Schmidt, reporter for our partner, The New York Times, joins us. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
So at Homeland Security, we've now had two former governors, Janet Napolitano, who I mentioned, Tom Ridge from Pennsylvania, and two big lawyers, Michael Chertoff, and if he's confirmed, Jay Johnson. Is there a narrative here?
Well, under Napolitano, she took on a lot of the immigration issues, border security, that stuff publicly, unlike Chertoff, who was publicly dealing a lot with terrorism. And what you have now is a question about what is DHS going to focus on? What is Johnson going to focus on? Is he going to follow in Napolitano's shoes and basically focus on those issues of immigration and border security and such? Or is he going to be more vocal on counterterrorism stuff in the way that John Brennan was in the first Obama term?
What do you make of the fact that he comes from the national security establishment? I mean, he's really down there in the kind of drone approval, drone strategy kind of whiteboard group there at the Pentagon.
Well, it's interesting because we thought that it would be a governor like Napolitano and someone that would sort of follow in that model. But this is at a time when Obama has said that there needs to be a recalibration on counterterrorism, and he's bringing this guy who sort of laid the pathway to that over the past year in his public statement. So there could be a change here in sort of, you know, how DHS is used and sort of the approach to counterterrorism. What that is, they're certainly not saying, and I certainly don't expect the president, when he announces the nomination this afternoon, to go into that. But it is different than what we've seen before.
Michael Schmidt, maybe a clue lies in a longer version of a clip we played right in the introduction to this segment. I want to play it for you. It's from that Oxford Union speech that Jay Johnson gave last year. Listen.
In the current conflict with Al-Qaeda, I can offer no prediction about when this conflict will end, or whether we are, as Winston Churchill once described it, near the, quote, beginning of the end, end quote. I do believe that on the present course, there will come a tipping point at which so many of the leaders and operatives of Al-Qaeda and its affiliates have been killed or captured, and the group is no longer able to attempt or launch a strategic attack against the United States, such that Al-Qaeda as we know it, the organization that our Congress authorized the military to pursue in 2001, has been effectively destroyed.
Jay Johnson, the designate for Homeland Security in the Obama administration. Before we go, Michael Schmidt, is he making an argument for a permanent state of war, and will Homeland Security look that way given the Snowden revelations? How are the confirmation hearings likely to go?
Well, no, I mean, it's interesting because the confirmation hearings could be a way for the discussion about the end to the war on terrorism or what happens to the war on terrorism. That could be sort of a forum for that. I don't think he's advocating a constant state of war in the sense of the counterterrorism war. I think what he's saying is that there's going to come a time when maybe we don't need to have the military and legal footing and sort of posture that we have now, which started after 9/11. And the question is, when does that come to an end, or does it ever come to an end? And I think that this is something that the administration is really thinking a lot about, and his confirmation hearing could give a chance for others to sort of weigh in on it, because we haven't really had a lot of discussion on it.
Well, a great takeaway there, something to look forward to, and whether the Secretary of Homeland Security will have anything to say about when that moment, that tipping point, has arrived. Michael Schmidt, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Michael Schmidt, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. So, a little about me here. Baptized as a Presbyterian, can still remember my scratchy wool Sunday suit for church in Rochester, New York. Then my dad went on a spiritual journey as I grew up, and we were all dragged to the Unitarian Church. Nice place, no scratchy suits. They liked to talk about how they didn't believe in miracles or God or the Bible in any literal way. The Unitarians in Syracuse, New York, like to have Muslim Sunday services or Jewish services sometimes. We would have atheist speakers occasionally. There'd be Buddhists. But our family eventually ended up at a church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, a lapsed Baptist church with some very independent Unitarian-like free thinkers. Really nice choir, hard wooden pews, and out there in the audience, some scratchy suits. Now, with five kids, I have some trouble explaining my religious background with any clarity to them, but that's just my story. All that is by way of mentioning that you can chat your own religious story to me and with me at our live chat later today. It's the end of our discussion that we've been having all week about young people under God, the changing face of American religion. Join me at thetakeaway.org today at 2 p.m. Eastern for a live chat on the changing role of religion. I'll be joined by Lisa Pierce, a professor of sociology at the University of North Carolina. You can wear your scratchy suit if you want, and together we'll answer your questions and examine religion in America.